Hey, welcome to the Film Podcast. I'm Ricardo.
I'm Jenny.
I'm Adam Scott.
I'm Brandon.
And today we're talking about the directing work of F. Gary Gray. What was F for?
Felix.
Felix. Felix Gary Gray. He is, I guess he was born in New York, but raised in South Central, Southern California, in the mean streets. And I didn't know this. But before we get started, is there any movies you guys want to talk about before we get started? Anything besides Gary Gray?
I haven't seen anything.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen anything.
Yeah.
I finally saw How to Train Your Dragon 2.
How was that?
It was really good.
Are you excited?
Yeah. I really want to go as Astrid for cosplay. You don't even know who Astrid is, Ricardo. Do you think it's a dragon? Do you think Astrid's one of the dragons?
I'm just over the DreamWorks animation stuff.
Why?
I don't know.
It's all been good.
Yeah,
they've been doing a good job.
Isn't Shrek DreamWorks?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's been over for a long time.
Yeah.
But you said they've all been good.
Yeah.
I said lately.
Whoa.
I don't think there was a lately.
We should go to playback.
Fine, playback.
No.
Stop it.
So
they've been pretty good lately.
Yeah, I guess so. Whatever. I don't even know what I saw last. Oh, I saw a movie that's coming out in the future, but apparently I can't talk about it. But it was really good.
This is awkward.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Great story, bro.
How was it?
One Zod came out in it. Anyway.
What? Now I want to guess it.
Sorry.
You know what it is. So today, again, we're talking about F. Gary Gray. Had everybody seen a lot of his movies, or was it a lot of homework for everybody?
I'd only seen a couple of them.
Yeah.
I had realized I had seen most of them.
Yeah. I rewatched some of them just because I was like, oh.
I rewatched all of them. Yeah.
I feel like I'm going to be the asshole on this episode.
Well,
I mean, I'm going to be the asshole on every episode, but yeah. I didn't rewatch any of them, and I didn't watch Law Abiding Citizen.
Boy. He did warn us.
Asshole.
I mean,
you didn't say it.
I don't think he's a bad director or anything. He just makes movies that I don't feel the need to ever watch again.
Yeah. No, I agree completely.
I'd agree with the exception of a couple of them.
Yeah.
He's got a few, and I don't think he's bad. Like, I feel like if it was baseball, he'd be batting like 500. Like, he's got a.
Yeah. Would it be on steroids or no steroids?
He's got a good.
I don't know baseball. What does that mean? 500.
That's good.
Is that that's 50%, isn't it?
Yeah.
Why do they do that? Why is it out of 1,000? Why can't you just say 50%?
I don't know.
What if Gary Gray?
Technically, it's
wait, hold on.
0.5.
I did see something.
Yeah.
Which kind of ties into this. I saw Life of Crime,
mm-hmm.
which was the blandest Elmore Leonard adaptation I've ever seen in my entire life.
Wow.
Boy, I could argue that.
I mean, like.
We'll get to it.
We'll get to it. But this is bland in a different, like, it was just so, like, awkward silences, like right now, it's just,
yeah,
like, a lot of that.
Yeah.
And, like...
Which is not what Elmore Leonard is known for.
You have to have, like, the music cues, right? Like, I mean, when it's got a good director and they know what they're doing, a good music supervisor, like, it can be good. But this was just very poorly made.
Yeah. Oh, we'll get to that.
Okay.
But let's start positive.
First movie...
Oh, can I say that, and you might want to say something, too, but... Good Morning Vietnam is now streaming on Netflix.
Yes, it is.
And what? I think if you haven't seen it, you should watch it. You have a reason not to now. And your favorite movie, Bloodsport, streaming on Netflix.
Yeah. Bloodsport streaming on Netflix, so everything's okay.
It's on my queue, Ricardo.
Van Damme is gonna, man, that movie changed my life, to be honest. People laugh at me all the time.
You said it on the last one.
Well, here's the thing. It's the first movie I remember watching as a kid at a movie theater.
Wow.
So... I just remember him doing the splits and being like, I want to do the splits when I grow up.
Can you do the splits?
Fuck no.
How far can you get?
Also, my dream as a kid was to be invited to the Kumite. And then I realized like I'd be punched in the face. And I'm like, you know what? Don't need to go to the Kumite.
You're not going to be able to do that if you can't do splits.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like that happens a lot, the Netflix thing, with these episodes we do.
Where
we have to cram a bunch of movies. Like, the next week or the week after that, like, at least two or three of the movies I had paid to watch on streaming comes on Netflix.
Exactly. Yeah. They're obviously listening to our podcast. Yeah.
Also, so Netflix knows, we're going to be doing the entire Freddy Krueger series, Nightmare on Elm Street. We're going to do all the sequels, the remake... And Freddy versus Jason. We'll cover all of them. All the places he's made appearances in.
They might have them starting October.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like they get a lot
on right now.
Well, there's
oh, really?
Part two and something else are on Netflix. So.
Okay.
Sweet.
We should make that a multi-part deal.
Yeah, yeah, we'll split
like,
it up.
Like three movies per episode or something.
Because we have a lot to talk about.
Well, I think it would be good to talk about, but also there's a lot of Nightmare on Elm Street movies.
That's true. That's true. Maybe we'll split it in half or something.
That's eight, right?
Yeah.
That's a lot of movies.
It's not
We're
that
about
much.
To do like eight.
Yeah. You chill out, dude. And you do our planning off air.
Not going to hold us to it.
Yeah.
People like a little behind the scenes, maybe.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll start off.
F. Hey, Gary eight Gray. Movies plus that 4-hour documentary.
Oh, fuck that, dude. That 4-hour documentary is fucking long.
That sounds
as fuck.
Awful. 4 hours? Yeah.
I watched
you don't have
pieces.
To watch it in one go.
Oh, okay. Well, I won't then.
Cool. All right. So we'll start off. I'll forego Murder Was the Case, the movie from 1985. And I'll start.
The movie? The music video?
Yeah. What says the movie? And we'll start with 1995's Friday, written by one.
Two.
Two people, but one Ice Cube.
And one DJ Pooh.
DJ Pooh. Which I never liked that name because it's too much like DJ Pooh Pooh.
Like well, Pooh. But it's spelled like Pooh Bear.
Yeah.
Like Winnie the Pooh.
So this is kind of what we had seen Chris Tucker before in a couple other things, but
what was he in before?
I remember seeing him before. Like, I'll tell you right now, actor.
Because he comes into this movie,
House Party 3.
Yeah. See, that's oh. the thing. Yeah, no one saw that, but he comes into this
Meteor Man.
Is Meteor Man after this?
Before
this?
Yeah.
Is that the Robert Townsend one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I love that movie. But he's like in it for like a second. This was his first like thing.
Yeah, this was his first thing, and his entrance in the movie is like we had known him and his comedy for 15 years.
Yeah,
like the shot of him coming through the
he was coming through
the window, like it kind of lingers on him. Then he gives like a blank face, and then he does that grin, and then it cuts. says his line.
I feel like he had a lot of stand up.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
This, that yeah. Was
yeah.
Popular.
He had been. He
but
had
he
been
was
in,
not like.
No, he wasn't a big stand up. He wasn't right. like a big sellout arena. Type.
No one going to the movie was like. Expecting Chris Tucker, you know,
oh,
I mean?
Yeah,
like
yeah,
waiting
yeah.
for what Chris Tucker was going to be doing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the movie totally showcases him.
Oh, totally.
Because everyone around him is not nearly as good as Chris Tucker.
Well, here's the thing: is I mean, I did some research on this, but I didn't get to this part where I wonder if during the filming of the movie they're like, oh shit, this guy's really funny. Let's kind of let's feature this guy, you know. Let's feature this actor a little more.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure that happened.
Yeah, yeah. But so what is the story? Tell us the synopsis.
Ice Cube lost his job stealing boxes at UPS. Is never quite explained.
Craig?
Why he was stealing boxes.
Yeah.
Do they ever explain that?
No.
Cause he asks him, Chris Tucker asks him up front. He's like, why steal boxes? UPS. And he's like, I don't know. Just kind of shrugs. But so he doesn't have a job. So they're hanging out on Friday and, getting high and mayhem ensues.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like a Friday in the hood, you know?
Yeah,
in
Friday in the hood.
Yeah.
Which was fun to watch. I love watching Los Angeles-based movies from the 90s after having lived here now for a while.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Totally. You know what? I still stand... Nia Long is so attractive. Back then and now.
Oh, man.
Yeah. She was a looker. Or is. There's a lot of cool actors in this. Character actors.
Yeah, Tiny Lister.
Yeah.
As...
Yeah.
What's his name?
Debo.
That's it. And in that scene where they're all playing dice with DJ Pooh is Red, who gets punched by Debo, Michael Clark Duncan.
Yeah, yeah. He's one of the background.
He's
you could see him like in like two shots.
Yeah.
Which was his first like on-screen appearance, apparently. On-screen appearance.
You said it right.
And then we have Regina King in this. We have John Witherspoon, who's funny as hell. It's part two, I think, where he's all... Put some chili, put some hot sauce on my burrito. Every time my burritos, I think of him.
I've never laughed at someone licking their fingers before.
and part two, I know F. Gary Gray didn't direct part two, but in the sequel, like when he has to go to the bathroom, I feel for him. Like I genuinely think he's gonna poop his pants. He's a great character actor.
But Friday is so like it's so nicely self-contained.
Yeah.
Like it feels like Clerks in the sense of like we don't have that much money.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
It's two guys that wrote it, so it's two guys in the movie, you know, are having an adventure.
Yeah.
But it's mostly just it's really them on the porch. I mean, Yeah, 95% of it.
You're right. It is Clerks. It's a lot of like, hey, let's just see if like all our friends say we're funny, but let's just see if people think we're funny.
Yeah, we'll just have the two guys bounce off of everyone else in the movie. Yeah. Yeah.
And I wonder if DJ Pooh where it was going to be the part of Smokey, if he was going to play Smokey, and then they're like, no, we need somebody funnier to kind of hold the whole movie, you know?
Burn on DJ Pooh. Well, I'm just like, he was good in that scene.
When he got punched? Yeah. And Ice Cube had done straight, you know, Boys in the Hood, right?
Boys in the Hood, yeah.
So I wonder if that was the case, but I liked it. I really enjoyed it. Adam, did you watch it when it first came out?
Yeah. I think this might be the only one of his movies that I own.
Really?
Yeah, I love Friday. I watch it all the time.
I don't own it. I'm surprised I don't own it. I'm kind of disappointed.
Yeah, I love this movie. And for a while, every time I went and got my Dreads tightened, it's the movie that would end up being on. Like, we wouldn't consciously put it on. It would just be on. Like, we would turn the TV on. Like, oh, hey, Friday's on. We just watch that.
What if it was on like the same spot you left off last time?
Oh, that'd be amazing. Cool. It takes a while to tighten dreads, so usually I have time to watch the whole movie.
So this movie came out in 1995. Jenny, had you seen it before when it came out?
Yes. Yeah, I saw it in high school.
On video or something? Somebody showed it to you?
Yeah. Yeah.
That sounds very. Someone showed it to you. Someone brought you somewhere and
someone
showed you Friday.
They're like sit down.
Brought it to school in a plastic baggie.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're all enjoy this.
This is the good shit.
Bernie Mac is in this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so good.
Did you say Faison Love?
Yeah, no, I didn't. But he's in this. He's
Big Worm.
Yeah,
I've got the clip of his Bernie Mac scene.
What we call drugs is 74th Street Baptist Church. We call a sin. Well, around here between Normandy and Weston, we call this here a little twin.
Wow,
nigga.
Bernie Mac is awesome.
Rest in peace.
And then
I did forget that DJ Pooh, his first filmmaking experience was producing. I don't know why it says producing, but producing the drive-by shooting sequence in Boys in the Hood.
Really? Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
According to his Wikipedia.
Interesting. Anything else you guys want to say about this movie? Any memories you guys have?
No, that's a good movie.
Getting inebriated.
Oh, I don't really like talking about money, but it works for F.K.A. Gray because there's a trend with him.
Yeah.
But Friday made a shitload of money.
Yeah, it did.
$3.5 million to make, $28.2 million box office.
Now, before this, before this, we had. I'm trying to think. Was this the first kind of. So we had F. Gary Gray. We had like a black comedy that wasn't like what is it called? What are those movies called? Like the Zucker Brothers movies. What are they called?
Parodies.
It wasn't a parody.
Oh, this was way before that.
We had had like a bunch of stuff from the Wayans Brothers before this, right?
Before this,
bunch of stuff.
Robert, I'm gonna get you, sucker. That was
Robert
that was
Townsend. I mean, those are the guys doing like the satirical, black stuff.
Yeah, yeah. But this was kind of like straightforward comedy, and it just worked for me. I liked it.
There was other stuff before this.
I'm trying to think, like what else was it that was?
But that hit.
That it hit.
Oh, that did very.
Yeah.
Well.
That was both like speaking directly to an audience, but hit it big everywhere.
Yeah. Because this was
car wash?
Everyone knew this. I guess
that's a good answer.
That's a good answer. Yeah,
car wash is not as big as Friday, though.
No. Friday was like everybody knew Friday. I remember like as soon as like a month after the movie came out, like everyone knew Friday. Like you couldn't go anywhere without somebody talking. Like if somebody fell, they would say you got knocked the fuck out. but yeah, that was annoying. People would do that. Be like, I just fell, dude. I just fell. I didn't get knocked out. But I do love this movie. It's really funny. Who knew Ice Cube was, well, he's playing the straight man, but he got some laughs.
He's still very funny. Like I laugh so hard still in the scene where he's trying to pretend not to be high with, where he's like, he thinks he can like rub it off himself.
Yeah.
Straightens his shirt. Yeah. Like that'll make him not look high. Yeah. I think he's very funny.
Yeah. And it's so funny, like the things that hit with people, like that people like that really connected connected with them. Like the a lot of the things that I read online was that like everyone loved that Witherspoon had called them into the bathroom. Mm-hmm. and like told them off. Like everyone's had that. Like when your mom yells and she's like, come in here. And you're like, no, I don't want to go. And she's like, I have to talk to you. No, I'm in the bathroom, but I still got to talk to you. It's so universal. Son of a bitch. But yeah, so Friday, anything else? Any other thoughts before we move on?
Probably my favorite F. Gary Gray movie.
Okay.
Owned it on VHS and too. DVD.
Yeah.
That's my favorite one too.
Yeah, it's probably the best. But it's not downhill from
here. No, no, no.
Yeah, it's not like it's downhill. It's just my favorite.
Yeah. The thing is that, like, this was... he had come out of music videos. He had... so he was more... It's funny that it's simply directed. And that's I think that's why he's not a bad director. He's just simple. He gets the job done. And he's not flashy. He doesn't really have a signature.
He's like a facilitator.
Yeah. He's more like a hired gun. You know, he's gonna go in there and get the job done, and he basically will do whatever's on the script. And if the script isn't good, then the movie's not good.
You know? You would never really be able to say what an F. Gary Gray movie is.
Yeah.
I had to looking at this, I was like, oh shit, I forgot that he did that.
Yeah. And looking at his career, I realized like, oh, he really doesn't elevate any of the material. He translates it. That's all he does. It's like from paper to screen.
I think he probably tries to find. Yeah. That's unfair to say. He's just a printer. You know?
No. But that's hard.
Yeah.
It's easy to ruin a movie. Like from where the script is to go direct it, and then you're like, fuck, this is not.
But that's why I mentioned the box office. He's a very success. He's an amazingly successful director.
Yeah. We'll leave Friday. And then move on to. I wonder why he didn't direct the sequels. I'd like to know that, but he didn't direct 2 or 3.
Maybe he wanted to do something else.
Yeah, 2 was pretty decent. I enjoyed that.
Ice Cube wanted more control or something. Didn't Ice Cube direct the next one?
He might have, or 3. Yeah. All right. Then
are we gonna rate it?
Huh?
We're gonna rate it.
Yeah. Again, we rate. That's why you're here. We rate every movie that we do on the director series on our like of the movie or love. We use a Letterboxd rating, which is 0.5 to 5 stars. You could join Letterboxd and, you know, friend us, I guess you would call it.
Yeah, follow us.
Follow us. Yeah. And Letterboxd is a really cool, like, social site for movie lovers. That's how simple it is.
Mm-hmm. They really need to send us some copy or something.
I know, dude. I'm fucking dying here, dude. But Letterboxd without an E at the end. Letterboxd. .com. All the links are on our website. Check that out. But Jenny, what did you give this movie?
This one's my 5.
Really? Full 5?
Yeah. I love this movie.
Yeah. Is this for all of us? Is
full
it
a, 5?
Full 5?
5.
5. Yeah. It's a movie where like no matter where I'm channel surfing and what part of the movie,
I got to sit down and just
watch a little bit of this. And then like, you look down the clock, you're like, "Fuck, it's been half an hour." I should be cleaning, but I'm just going to finish this movie and then I'll clean.
Just thinking about it.
Yeah.
At the time, I'm in the kitchen. John Witherspoon.
Well, I've been smelling your shit for 18 years.
All right. So we move on to 1996's Set It Off.
Set It Off.
What can you say about Set It Off? Give us a synopsis.
I love Set It Off.
Yeah.
First of all, I had seen this is one that I had seen before, but I didn't realize I'd seen before.
Yeah,
4 women, all who are giving intense reasons to move to a life of crime, decide to band together and rob banks.
Yeah,
in Los Angeles, Vivica Fox, Jada Pinkett, before Smith, Queen Latifah, and Kimberly Elise.
Yeah,
it's TT.
Kimberly Elise, I know her mostly for John Q.
She's the wife in John Q. Yeah, that's what I knew her from too.
Yeah. Watching this again, I was like,
John Q.
Never seen John Q.
It's a lot like Washington, The Negotiator.
Where he takes over the hospital because his son needs a heart transplant.
Is that the Denzel Washington where he travels in time?
No.
Nope. No, yes. That's he travels in time to save his child.
Is it the one?
He takes the hospital over. Is it the one where the killer hostages.
Travels into no the machine?
No killer.
No killer.
That's virtuosity.
It's just never like the John plot Q. of Nanakashi.
Dude, it's really cool. It's Nick Cassavetes directing.
Yeah.
It's Bobby Duvall's in it.
It's, yeah, Sean, it's good.
Sean Hatosi.
Eddie Griffin.
Eddie Griffin, yeah. It's a good movie. One of the dudes from Entourage is in it.
Kevin Dunn.
Yeah.
Whatever. E.
Yeah. But back to Set It Off.
So, I feel like... So Vivica Fox gets fired from the bank
mm-hmm.
because the bank gets robbed and she knows the guy from her neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And so she kind of hesitates, doesn't follow policy. And she gets fired and ends up being looked at as like the suspect. So she's just pissed, right? She's just pissed at the system.
Yeah, at the man.
Right. Jada Pinkett is trying to send her brother to college.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't have any money, whores herself out, finds out her brother didn't even get into the college that he said he was. So she whored herself out with the bailiff from night court for nothing.
Yeah.
And then he has the same buzz cut lettering that the guys who robbed the bank had. So he gets shot by the police. So she's mad at the system.
Yeah.
TT, Kimberly Elise, mm-hmm. She brings her child to work. They work as a cleaning service in high rises downtown. And her son gets into some, like, cleaning liquid and goes to the hospital. Gets taken away by child services. She has to then prove that she has enough money for, like, to hire a babysitter while she's at work.
Yeah.
That's why she needs the money. And Queen Latifah is just a fucking crazy lesbian.
Yeah.
She's just a badass. Who's just out.
That's the description in the script.
Who's just out for the thrills with her completely silent, elusive girlfriend in tow. Who never says a thing in the movie.
Yeah. And who's played by?
I don't know. She looked familiar, but I can't remember who she's played by.
I don't remember either. But so we have the gang of four, right? Plus the elusive girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, what had you seen before? This was your first time?
I had seen it before. This had been on like HBO rotation, I think, for a while.
This I'd seen before. I wasn't a big fan of it. It just wasn't my cup of tea.
Yeah.
You know, after you see a movie called Heat, you know? Bank robberies aren't the same anymore, you know? Jenny, had you seen this before?
I hadn't, no.
This is your first time?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What did you think? You liked it?
Yes. Yeah. I liked it. I probably won't ever see it again. I mean, yeah. I don't feel like I need to watch it again. I liked it. Well, this is going to sound bad, but compared to some of the other movies, this one's one of the better ones.
All right, I'll agree. And had you seen it before?
Oh yeah, I've seen it too many times.
Too many times.
Yeah, it was on all the time on pay-per-view or something, like on one of those channels where it would just be on all day.
Yeah, yeah.
I will just say that, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, go for it.
That I hate when people make stupid choices. Like, I hate that so much. Like, the whole time I'm thinking, why on earth are you, like, I don't even remember the deal with Jada Pinkett and her boyfriend,
mm-hmm.
but there was a part near the
Blair
end.
Underwood.
Yes. And there was a part near like them getting caught where it was like, why are you being an idiot?
Yeah.
Then
yeah.
At this part.
Yeah.
Because you've been so intelligent the whole time. And all of a sudden it's just like, I get it. Like love, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But like, it was
What did she do?
I don't even remember, but it was.
Was it calling him at the end from like Mexico? Something,
no. It was when right before they were going to get caught. It was something that happened that, for whatever reason, whatever she did to him.
Calling him to get out of the bank?
Or something like that. And no, I don't remember. It was something. And because of that, they got caught.
Yeah.
Because of whatever she did, they got caught. Or, like, they stayed there for too long and then they got shot or something like that. It was one of those. I don't even remember. I was so pissed off. I was like, really?
Because I would say that everyone is dumb. Like, no one has made it. No one ever makes a smart decision in the movie. Like, the cops, any of them.
Yeah, you're right.
Because, like, they case out a
bank. But, like, this is a big, like, this is your chance to get away and you ruined it kind of thing.
I feel like I'm trying to remember what that moment is. Because I feel like there's no time where they did. Because they rob a bank that the cops were just at. And someone trips the silent alarm, so they basically turn around like a block away and then come back.
That whole thing. Yeah, that was stupid too. I don't know. There's parts of it where I'm just like, you guys have been really smart this whole time, and then all of a sudden make a bad move.
I'll say this about F. Gary Gray. Some people don't do it well, and he does. He does it well. He's really good at directing scenes with a lot of people in him. Like, meaning, like, with a lot of moving parts. He's really good at that, and we'll see it in The Negotiator. where there's a lot of actors giving a lot of information, and some people don't know how to cover that. Like, how do you cover that? Like, is it close? You know, and he's really good at kind of being clear. Like, okay, this is what's happening here, and I think that's why he's successful.
That last scene, I liked it when I first saw it, but for some reason, like, I loved it this time. Really? I don't know what it was. Maybe because I forgot, like, it gets intense at the end.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, and the scene where it's the four of them and they're getting caught and it's John C. McGinley.
Yeah.
And he's, like, trying to beg them to, like, stop, and they're slowly putting, you know, the guns down. And then that fucking security guard comes out and just blasts Kimberly Elise away.
Motherfucker.
Yeah. Hero. Always.
Always the fucking hero,
yep,
right?
Yep. Even in Point Break. So is that cop that was sitting, yeah, off-duty cop? Damn it. Just chill out. Man. But it'll be all over in a bit.
Like, I thought Jada Pinkett is really good in this movie.
Yeah.
It's kind of her movie. It follows her, you know, trying to get out.
It's her kind of point of view story.
Yeah.
No, I mean, as bank robbery movies go, it's okay. But just the fact that it's pretty intense and all the actors are great. Queen Latifah is great.
Yeah. But it's not like really about the bank robberies.
No.
I feel like the bank robberies are nice little moments of like action or whatever. But yeah. I really like the four of them.
Dynamic.
Dynamic.
That's true.
What am I? I was going to say something about these. Oh, apparently Kimberly Lee got discovered like at the store where one of the producers were shopping. I was like, hey, you want to audition for this movie?
Was this her first movie?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
I did think it was crazy with the bank robberies how, except at the very end, a car chase never ensued.
Yeah.
Especially in the first one where they just plow, like a Grand Cherokee comes plowing out of the bank onto the street.
Yeah.
And they just drive away.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I mean, it was for its time and it did well, right? What didn't it?
It did very well.
Yeah.
41.5 and cost $9 million.
Yeah, it did well.
He did very well.
Like,
I was straight up starting to cry when Queen Latifah dies.
Spoilers.
No, it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
it's a heist movie. You can assume that pretty much everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, and everyone does. Yeah.
Yeah. It's crime doesn't pay in this movie.
Yeah. And then the scene when, I'll spoil it, Jada Pinkett is the only one to survive.
Yeah.
When John C. McGinley, like, sees her on the bus because they... incredible timing. She sneaks onto the bus, and as the bus is driving by, he's shooting Vivica Fox. And when he, like, sees her and then lets her go, I thought that was a great moment. I thought that was really good.
It was like, I'll catch you later.
Well, because most of the movie, he's just, like, an idiot, yeah, like, you know, 90% racist, LA cop.
Yeah.
But, like, towards the end, he's like, oh, fuck, I just want this shit to stop.
Yeah.
Stop.
Blair Underwood? Pretty good.
Really good?
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone's great in this.
This is the one I consider to be watching most. I was like, if I'm going to rewatch one, I probably should rewatch this one.
It works. Like, everything in it works.
Oh, I forgot Dr. Dre's in this.
Yeah. He's the arms guy. Queen Latifah's arms guy.
Yeah. Crazy Dr. Dre.
Jada Pinkett was only 25 when she did this.
She's so good in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
This might be her best performance. Except for
Low Down Dirty Shame.
No. Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Peaches. Peaches.
Okay.
You ain't got no job. You ain't got no peaches.
I think
that's always my favorite. I'm sorry. She could win.
No,
an Oscar.
You're right. You're
peaches
right.
Is my favorite performance.
Of Vivica E. Fox?
This is her best serious performance. Her best dramatic role.
Wasn't she my favorite of her performances is Menace to Society. I like her in that.
Oh. Jada Pinkett?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't like Menace to Society.
Really?
No.
See, it's funny because, all right, there's another Menace to Society linked, but we'll talk about it later. So what did you guys rate this movie, Jenny?
I gave it a 4.
A 4.
Based on when I watched it back in 1995 all the time, I'm going to stick with a 3.
Okay.
I'm going to go with 4.
But I do want to rewatch it.
Yeah.
You guys told me.
I rented it. It's in my bag if you want.
Okay.
I'm going to go 3. 3. Yeah. I can even go 2.5, but I'm going to eat
during it. I didn't know. Oh, you didn't like
it's
it?
Kind of a dick thing to say. I could give it lower, but here's what the guy
but
I am.
Here's the thing. Is it's all they were great. They were good. For what they were doing and all this stuff, the girls were pretty great.
This is Vivica Fox in her prime.
Yeah, she was good looking. She's still good looking.
She is still good looking.
Yeah.
On Curb Your Enthusiasm.
You know who doesn't age?
By her prime, though.
Well, this is her prime. You know who doesn't age? Stacey Dash.
No, she does not age.
I'm convinced she's a vampire. She doesn't age. She looks exactly like she did in Clueless.
Her opinions get older.
They do. All right, so...
I've got the mindset of a 75-year-old Southern Civil War veteran.
Yeah. So I gave it a 3.
Jada Pinkett doesn't age.
That's true. That's true. Mm. Yeah.
She ages differently. Like, it's she a just, weird, okay. Like, look at her now and look at her picture from this movie.
I take it back. Cells in her body have died since her performance in Set It Off till today.
She looks different than she did.
She does, but she looks fantastic.
Are you hinting at something? What are you saying?
Are you saying she looks ugly? Are you saying Jada Pinkett?
Are you saying she's had a lot of work?
She looks like she's had a lot of work.
Yeah. I'll agree. I don't want to be the guy to say it.
I think she just works out a lot. Yeah. Like, I think she's just...
I think she's just super rich and she gets to work out all the time.
Yeah, because it's just, like, skinny. It's not, like, anything changed. It's just, like, skinny.
Unnatural?
Sometimes
I think she works out a lot. Like, I think she's one of those people that's, like, overworks out.
Guys, they're super rich. All you do is...
Work out.
You can afford the best food and work out all the time.
I would never work out. If I was rich, I would never work out. I mean, I'd be, like, find me the drug that will lower my...
When you're married to Will Smith, you kind of have to work out.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Looking next, or standing next to him.
No fatties at the Church of Scientology on Sunday.
No, like they don't allow it.
Maybe she was just like on a diuretic or something.
Maybe.
A lot. Yeah. Her skin just looks like, it looks like she's got such a thin layer of skin covering
her skull. Yeah.
She is 20 years older.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just saying she looks fantastic.
All right.
She doesn't look the same, but I'm just
kidding. Oh, yeah. 20 years. Yeah. Jesus, people.
That leads us to our next movie.
You assholes are going to be disgusting when you're 45.
Oh, yeah, with old balls. The Negotiator from 1998. directed by...
F. Gary Gray.
F. Gary Gray. Written by the guys that did... I looked this up the other day. These guys did... he's the guy who wrote Purge and Purge the Anarchy.
Oh, really?
I was surprised. And he did something that upset me. He crashed the TV series, but he also did Assault on Precinct 13, the remake.
Oh. Yeah. It was not the worst thing ever?
So it was all downhill from this one, is what you're saying.
Well, here's the thing. The Negotiator, I actually like a lot.
Yeah, The Negotiator's great. Yeah.
It's great.
The Negotiator is the perfect 90s action movie.
Yes.
It has all of the bullshit that... flooded dumb 90s action movies, but like this one nails
done well. So I would say Friday is my favorite one because it's just the replay value on that movie is so great. Like, you could watch it all the time. This is a good movie, but I wouldn't want to watch it all the time. It's too intense.
Yeah.
So give us a synopsis of The Negotiator.
Samuel Jackson plays Danny something.
Roman.
Danny Roman, a hostage negotiator in Chicago. I wish this was set in Los Angeles.
Because both his movies were previously.
I know. I wish this was in LA. But he gets involved in his partner was investigating embezzlement of the pension fund.
Yeah.
And he ends up getting pinned with it.
Yeah. Framed.
Framed. Goes to internal affairs. And this is a question I have.
Yeah.
Does he go... And he takes a bunch of hostages, and there's a cat and mouse game, and Kevin Spacey comes in, and it's fun. When he goes to internal affairs, he's not planning to take any hostages, right?
Nope. He didn't. That's what I noticed about the
when
movie.
I first saw it. That's what I thought.
Oh no!
Like
no, no,
he goes there with this mastermind plan, and that's one of the things that breaks out from other dumb '90s action movies. Where he's not doing that. In another dumb one, he would have this whole convoluted plan like in his head from the get go.
Like law abiding citizen.
Yeah. Like law abiding citizen.
Right. So
yeah.
This is the anti law abiding citizen. So he goes in there and he kind of gets pushed to the edge. And then he kind of
Some guy starts to arrest him.
Yeah. And he doesn't he's Sam Jackson. You know what I mean?
Sam Jackson with red hair, right?
Yeah,
reddish hair.
Yeah, it
You're
is
right.
reddish hair.
That is interesting.
It is reddish.
Here
it's closer to
I guess it's
closer to Queen Latifah's girlfriend Yeah, no, it's not that. It's not that bright.
It's kind of orange. Yeah.
So he holds hostages, and now he needs a negotiator, and he calls this other guy who's not even in like the same department.
Well, he calls a guy because he's there, so he figures, well, shit, this is I'm here. I'm gonna figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
With J, and he takes JT Walsh, who's like the lead IA investigator.
Yeah.
Rest in peace. This is one of his last movies.
Yep.
His actual last ones were what? Hidden Agenda was the last movie?
Yeah, yeah.
But what was the one before that?
Breakdown.
Breakdown, that's right. Yeah. God, he's awesome in Breakdown.
Yeah.
But he calls Kevin Spacey, Chris Sabian, because he is in another district or something. They say, like, the other side of the river. I don't think that makes any sense. But somewhere that he's not connected to any of the other officers.
And he has to negotiate, you know, the release of the hostages. And the cat and mouse game starts, and a bunch of character actors again in this movie that are great: David Morse, Ron Rifkin, John Spencer, J.T. Walsh,
Paul Giamatti.
Yeah. Yes, I forgot.
Paul Giamatti is like a rat because this is like Private Parts era. Paul Giamatti, where he just shows up as a crazy dude in the movie,
and he's always like the skeezy good dude.
Pig Mama.
Yeah. Oh, the guy that's in Walking Dead, Michael Cudlitz.
Yeah. And basically all the cops, you don't know who's involved in this whole, who's crooked in this department.
Yeah.
And
you do, it's very quick with the, like, everyone turning on him.
Yes, yes.
And, like, believing that he did it. Like, that's not as effectively done as it could.
Yeah.
Because we're supposed to be like, oh, they're all friends. They've been cops for like 15, 20 years or whatever. They go back, they like mention stuff from like 92 and shit like that. But like at the drop of a hat, like everyone thinks he's dirty.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
It's because he's black.
It doesn't hurt.
So apparently this movie was originally going to be Stallone and Spacey with Kevin Spacey playing the Sam Jackson part. And Stallone playing the, I'm sorry, how did I say this?
Stallone and Spacey.
Yeah, so, Stallone. Sorry.
Stallone being the outside negotiator.
No. Yeah, exactly. And after Stallone dropped out, Kevin Spacey's like, I want the other part. And but they were both great parts actually. I enjoy them both.
They would be fun.
Yeah.
That would have been an interesting movie.
I like Kevin Spacey more as the guy that's, like, trying to trick people into things.
Yeah.
Like this and, like, Seven. He's trying, you know, like, tricky. Like, you don't know what he's going to do. Like, I don't know. He can maneuver way people to do what he wants them to do.
He's really good at manipulating
people. That's the word I was looking for.
And he plays that really well.
I like him. Usual Suspects, too.
Yeah.
House of Cards.
I haven't seen it yet.
That's... What you're describing is as far as you could go with it.
Oh. House of Cards. I love when he does that, so I'm sure I love that.
Yeah. So let's start off by I did enjoy this. It's really great. It's fun.
It's really good.
I had this thought. You think this is a movie that made Sam Jackson like? Because Sam Jackson was always a great actor, and he had he was in Pulp Fiction before this. He was in a bunch of movies, Jackie Brown, but this movie was really successful. And when it came out, it did really well, but it did even better on DVD and cable. I remember this movie was on all the time. And do you think this is what made, this is what pushed Sam Jackson to be, more like an icon, like Christopher Walken is? Cause Sam Jackson is that's what he is now. He's like more than just your typical actor. He's like an icon. Like
Do you think this movie did that?
I don't know. Because it was everywhere. And then from this,
I think
he went
Pulp
to Star Wars.
Yeah, Pulp Fiction did that.
You think so?
Yeah.
No, okay. Anyway.
Yeah, also, this movie did not do well.
Really?
Yeah. In fact, it lost money.
But it did well in home.
Lifetime gross is $44 million.
And how much did it cost to make?
50.
Oof. Yeah. Did it do well on video?
That's Lifetime gross. 44.
No, those numbers are not right, dude.
Box Office Mojo.
They're wrong. Because the really article good. I read said it was really successful. Fucking bastards.
I mean, I'm sure it made more, but it's not as successful as other movies he's made.
Italian Job.
This is one of the worst Yeah.
Well, it's huge. It's really big. There's like buildings, you know, a side of a building exploding. There's a siege on the building.
That's all
the
helicopters. Cost so much. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. It was a big, big budget movie. What else did you like about this movie? I like all the character actors in this.
Yeah, the character. I love David Morris.
Yeah. I always don't know whether I like him or not. His characters are always like right in the middle of like, oh,
he's so tall and stone face.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
He's also got kind of a teddy bear look.
I prefer it when I can like his characters. Like, I like to like David Morris. I don't like, I mean, I dislike disliking him. And not that it's bad. Right. It's like, I don't think he's bad at it. He's too good at being villainous.
Yeah,
he really is.
I like him in The Hurt Locker, where he's congratulating him. He's like, boy.
Oh, he's awesome in The Hurt Locker.
He's so good in The Hurt Locker. But this movie, there's a ton of cast, there's a bunch of action happening, and he does really well at like directing that. It's always clear where people are, where they're at, what the actions that's happening. He's very clear on that.
The final raid when like he's escaping from the building
and
like the cops are coming in is really well done.
Yes.
It's super well staged.
Yeah. And I enjoy this, and this is again one of my favorites of his, but I don't think I'll rewatch it. I don't think if it was on TV, I wouldn't sit down and watch it.
Yeah, I don't know, maybe another 10 years or something.
maybe. But, you know, twice in a lifetime is fine.
Longer than that, 20 years.
Jesus. But I'll still give it a 3.5 stars on Letterboxd.
Mid-90s is 20 years ago.
Yeah. Jenny, what do you give it?
I messed up my numbers. Oops. Set It Off was supposed to be 3.5, Negotiator's 4.
Okay, all right.
Sorry.
That's okay.
My bad.
So you
I liked Negotiator a lot.
Yeah.
The thing with Negotiator, though, like I said earlier, is I saw John Q a long time ago.
Oh.
And so, like, it's not the exact same movie, but it's a lot of similarities. And so, John Q was my first movie, I think, that I saw that was like that, with hostages, and, like, he's a good guy, and you like him, and blah, 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 you know? Yeah. So, I think if I saw Negotiator first, I'd like it even more, because I like that concept a lot.
Yeah, of a guy trying to prove his innocence, or, like, prove his case by taking extreme measures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not everything's going wrong. Like, in a lot of movies, everything goes wrong, and you're like, I just want something to go right, this is ridiculous, but this one, he, like, puts his foot down and is like, I'm gonna make this right.
Yeah.
I like that.
And so you give this 4 and Set It Off 3.5.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Adam, what do you give this movie?
3.5.
3.5.
3.5 for me too.
Yeah.
Adam, we're in agreement so far.
I know, it's weird.
That's really weird.
This is the first time this happened in a long time.
Well, I mean, I think that comes to the fact that he's not like a director with a stamp that he puts on the movie. Like, he's just facilitating.
There's not a lot to turn you off besides, like, I was going to say the movie, but
he doesn't add anything to it to turn you off of it.
Yeah.
So it is what it is. I feel like that's, if Gregory was a movie, the tagline would be, it is what it is.
Yeah.
That would sound like a really sad movie.
But the thing is, like the thing is, if there was a really good script, like, okay, here's I'll say this. He'd be a good director to direct like Captain America 3, because the script is there, and Marvel's kind of.
He would be an awful choice to direct Captain America 3.
The Russo brothers didn't do nothing for Captain America 2. It was all script. That was great.
That's crazy. That's super crazy.
He hasn't directed anything that big though, with all the effects and everything.
I would give it to him.
That's a crazy thing to say. Action sequences in Captain America and Winter Soldier are incredible. The pacing is incredible.
You can't give something that's so CG heavy to a facilitator. You need someone who can have the vision to pass on.
You think the Russo brothers had more of a vision?
They also worked on the script.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, they did.
Okay, I'll give you that. But I'm saying, if he directed such a big cast in this movie, and if there's action sequence in this movie, why wouldn't he direct the bigger movie?
Because he just doesn't. It needs a voice. I don't know what his voice is.
I'll agree with that. That he doesn't have a voice.
The Winter Soldier.
He doesn't have a signature.
If we're sticking with like the Winter Soldier, which was a crazy fucking thing to say, but like I get the voice there.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a pure. I get it. It's a vision of a committee and those two guys, but it's still solid all the way through. Like here, it's just like, I don't know. It's hard to describe because it's not nothing. He gives something to it.
Yeah, totally.
But I don't know what it is.
Yeah, but I guess more it's that he's not heavy-handed with his, you know what I mean, with his directing, like meaning like,
right.
But
by heavy-handed, you could also mean like any personal flair.
Yeah, I do mean that.
Like there are no like ideas anywhere. You know what I mean? Like nothing that stands out is particularly interesting. Like so far, I've liked all of these movies, but they're just good. Like I just watched them, and they were good.
Yeah,
nothing.
Nothing special all about, right?
No, and I could say that people gave good performances in them.
Yeah,
I could say things about the script, but
that's it.
Yeah. All but right. Serviceable still sounds like a huge diss.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's accurate either.
Yeah. Because he's better than most directors.
When you want to say he's a competent director, but that doesn't...
That also sounds like a burn.
Sounds like a burn. Yeah.
I feel like if he got a hold of something or wrote something that was more of his own voice, I think he would knock it out of the park. Like something that he could really sink his teeth into.
Do you think that's how it was with Friday, though? Like, that is from, like... Because Friday was filmed in his neighborhood, where he grew up.
Yeah. Well, but I think Friday is... They were all friends. I think that helps Friday a lot, is everyone was friends making something together.
Do you think...
And it's not a big action-y movie. I think...
It was 20 days hanging out in their neighborhood.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't see him directing a huge, three-month-long, effects-heavy movie.
Really?
No.
All right.
I do not see that.
Well, let's move on because they get a little bigger, the movies.
Yeah. Let's go with 2003. Takes a little break. He's a Y2K guy.
Yeah.
And make sure everything was cool.
Yeah. He was probably hiding in a bunker somewhere.
This movie took a long time to make, from what I understand.
Yes. Yes.
There was a long break. They made some. There was a long break that was pretty much just like the ending, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. They had another director come in and change the ending.
No, he worked with the ending. He worked on the ending with Vin Diesel, or at least that's what he said in interviews.
Yeah.
So the ending that's in the movie, they worked on. It just, there was a long break in between when they made the movie primarily, and then when they reworked the movie and did the ending.
Yeah. So,
God knows what they reworked.
Written by Paul, Schuring, the guy who did, Prison Break. He wrote this movie called A Man Apart from 2003, directed again by our director, F. Gray Gray. Sorry.
Vin Diesel.
Vin Diesel, Timothy Oliphant, Lawrence Tate, which I go back to Menace to Society. I love Lawrence Tate was the best part of Menace to Society. I love him in it. And I enjoy watching him a lot. I think he's a good actor. You have a bunch of other character actors that you'll see.
Timothy
Oliphant, I said already.
No, you didn't.
He did.
I did. Oh, yeah.
It's like the second name he said.
Yeah. Well, there was not enough emphasis on it because he's the only one that's having fun in the movie.
He is. He's having much fun.
It's not a movie that anybody feels like. It doesn't feel like anybody should be having fun in this movie.
Yeah,
I know, but he's the only one.
Least
who,
of
like,
all the audience.
Yeah, yeah, he's the only one that doesn't get or have to play some tortured thing. And like, God, I read some interviews of, like, talking about like Vin Diesel in the movie and stuff, and like he really took all of this character on, and he is just, God, I love Vin Diesel. I will love him till the ends of the earth, but he's just a weird dude. And like, I just don't know if he really knew how to handle like what kind of character this is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's, I wish we could have visuals, cause I think it's perfect. Like his whole performance is perfectly captured. There's a scene. So,
tell us what the movie is.
So him and a bunch of his friends used to be gangbangers, right? And now they work for the DEA.
Yeah.
As
really young kids.
Right.
They were from the wrong sides of the track. And so they grew up doing bad things but never gotten a lot of trouble.
I like how you're defending them. Like, let's take gang out of it.
Well, here's the thing. They
even though they literally say, like, we're not in gangs anymore, man.
I know, but I'm saying if you do horrible things, they don't let you into the police department or the DEA.
I think that's the idea here is that you need criminals to catch criminals. Like, I think that's in the voiceover at the very beginning also.
Too many voiceovers.
Which
can
I mean
just
to say
that?
Yes.
I mean to say,
I'm like, does the story not work? Like, why are you explaining every everything to us through a voiceover. Just let us figure it out on our own. You think we're stupid?
Sometimes it takes criminals to get
everything.
But it's amazing that he is such a good voiceover artist.
Yeah.
Like, literally carries movies
with Groot?
Three lines of dialogue.
Groot.
You know what I mean? He makes me cry with one word in The Iron Giant and is the entire heart of Guardians of the Galaxy with three lines. But his voiceover is just shit.
Yeah.
Like, it is crazy how bad it is.
Maybe it was a last minute, like, oh, fuck, we need this probably. To tie the movie
together.
This
doesn't make any sense.
Bring him in. And he's all, I'm Groot.
Well, because he's doing it over pretty obvious, like, it's a, you know, montage of, like, headlines of, like, cartel violence and, you know.
So the DEA agents, let's get back to it. DEA agents.
So they're busting this guy called Diablo.
El Diablo.
El Diablo. Fuck. El Diablo.
Yes.
And in retaliation, they come to kill him, but they end up killing his wife.
Yes.
And this just, like... This
you fucked with the wrong man.
This
you've set a man apart.
I was gonna say this tears.
Did someone actually say that at one point in the movie? Like, dude, you're a man apart.
They should.
You're a man
they
apart. Should. I say.
Yeah.
And they walk away.
He's all, my friend, you are a man apart.
In every other movie,
and then he winks at the camera. Yeah.
He's very much like the title of the film.
I bet they do, because in every one of his movies, someone says the title.
Really?
Yeah.
This movie's Too Fast 6.
No, in every F. Gary Gray movie,
someone says the name of the title. So it's F. Gary Gray, you have to say the name of the title in the movie.
Yeah.
And then Keanu Reeves, he has to say what he does. Yeah.
I'm a computer analyst.
So Vin Diesel's performance, after his wife gets killed,
yeah,
I feel like his entire thing can be summed up when he's crying on the beach outside of his house, and he's chugging down a tiny, like, mini-bar J&B scotch bottle.
Yeah.
Like, in any other movie, he'd be, like, brown bagging it, or he's got the whole bottle.
Yeah.
And he, like, drinks half of it, then throws the rest away because he doesn't give a shit anymore.
Yeah.
But
in his giant paws, he's got this, like, tiny J&B thing, and he just downs it and, like, throws it down and then can't handle anymore.
He's like, it's too much.
I feel like that's his entire performance.
So he has to figure out who killed his wife. So he's on leave, and Timothy Oliphant is at the bottom of the chain of this whole cartel thing. And his character is interesting because he's like a hairstylist as well or something.
I don't know. His whole thing is weird.
He's Hollywood Jack. That's all I know.
Yeah. His name is Hollywood Jack.
And Lawrence Tate is Vin Diesel's partner and his right hand man.
Mm-hmm.
And then, Vin Diesel goes off the reservation and starts fucking killing people. You know what I mean?
Well, first he goes undercover to try and get him.
Yeah.
He goes back to, like, guys they knew, like, from in the past. Yeah.
But
there's
he,
so
like,
many...
He loses his shit, like, while he's undercover, right?
Oh, yeah. So the movie was NC-17. Here's what happens. Here's the inciting incident. Let me play the clip. There's the inciting... When he goes nuts, he goes... And you're talking about his wife. Hold on. So he's selling drugs to a guy. He's dropping off money for drugs to a guy. And the guy brings up his wife.
Remember that cop who took down the big man? He took care of his stupid bitch wife.
So you took care of the stupid bitch wife?
Yeah. Any bitch who marries a cop's gotta be stupid. Hey, the keys in the car. Take care.
And all shit breaks loose.
And that's, they had to cut back that scene to get back down to an R rating.
Really?
Because that scene was originally so violent.
Really?
And it's the only really violent thing in the movie.
Yeah.
Like, it comes out of nowhere.
Really? There's no, like...
Stupid
climactic.
Well, there's a bunch of, like, people get shot and there's a bunch of shootouts. But I remember the scene being very brutal. Like, I just, like, what the fuck just happened?
Any bitch who's dumb enough to be a cop's wife has got to be stupid.
And brilliant dialogue.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
I can imagine whoever, I don't even know who wrote it, but when they wrote that line and there was like, oh, it goes around in the circle with dumb bitch wife. The best.
So. Is it me, or does this movie doesn't have, like, a climactic moment at the end? There's no, like, oh, and then, you know, it's like he kills that one dude and that's over.
Because he kills the guy who ends up being the wrong guy to kill.
Yeah.
Who was the suicide bomber from True Lies.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then it kind of ends. Like, it ends, right?
Yeah.
The movie ends.
Yeah.
And then it's him in, which must be the thing that they shot, was him in Mexico.
Yeah.
finding him again and then not killing him but arresting him, like setting up a sting, even though none of it makes sense. Like, he's just walking down the street.
Yeah. There's no shootout. Like, for a movie that I thought was going to be an action movie, there was no action in it.
I know. But it's like, you know that they were looking at that and like, well, that's what we got to bring it back to, because it's really his journey, right? So we got to bring it. We got to bring it back inside, because this is about him and the guy he was looking for. The guy he trusted against his own instincts.
And here's my thing about this movie: the cast is smaller in this movie, and the movie's not as good. But then my point is broken with Be Cool. But
this is an interesting theory you have about F. Gary Gray. Well, that the more people are in his movie, the better.
The better it is. Yeah, yeah. So this movie, not a fan. I mean, I guess. The Vin Diesel catalog, it's about one of his better movies, better than Riddick.
But you love Riddick. You haven't even seen Riddick.
Because Chronicles of Riddick is horrible.
Trust me.
Pitch Black is good, though.
Yeah.
Pitch Black is really good. Yeah. The second one is terrible. I'm telling you, watch the third one. You have to trust me. At least the first half an hour of the movie, you will love. Seriously. Well, because
the credits are amazing.
They're like two different movies. But also now I think you'll like Dave Bautista in it. He's really good at it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You like all of his Fast movies.
Yeah, they're all great.
Yeah.
This isn't better than that. You said this is one of his best movies.
No, this is one of his worst.
Yeah, this might be his worst.
Vin Diesel?
Yes.
Vin Diesel's done a lot of crap.
I haven't seen The Tooth Fairy.
Vin Diesel's done a lot of crap.
But this has to be at least, if The Tooth Fairy is really bad, this is at least on par. It cannot be better.
I guess so. I guess it's
Pacifier.
Oh, wait, no, that was The Rock. The Rock was The Tooth Fairy.
Pacifier.
That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
The Pacifier is not that bad. It's pretty funny.
Yeah. Tooth Fairy wasn't that bad.
Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah.
Boiler Room.
Triple
X.
Triple X is good.
I'd rather watch Triple X than this.
Triple X is so much better than this movie.
I'm not going to say that it's good, but I agree with him that it's better than this
movie. Oh my God. This is,
Triple X is pretty bad.
What I like about Triple X is how inept he is.
Yeah.
Like, he's the worst spy. But it's not, I don't think it's a good movie.
But at least it's fun. And, like, there's quality action.
Yeah. This movie's too serious for itself.
That's the problem. Yeah.
That's the problem.
Because I can see Vin going home, like, at the end of the day, like, not being able to drop the character.
He's like, these cops.
Well, he said that. I read an interview where he's like, you know, I talked to some actors. They know how to lose their character at the end of the day. I'm not one of those guys.
See, now we're just on a Vin Diesel kick. I remember when they cut together the supercut of all of his talk show appearances when he was talking about Find Me Guilty, and it was the exact same story. Like, they could just go a second ahead, and he's exactly where he was in the previous show.
Like, was it like her Huckabee's, the chicken salad?
Yes. It was like his chicken salad
And it
story.
Was chicken salad. Shania likes chicken salad.
He just, but like, do you follow him on Facebook?
No.
He's the fucking best.
Really?
He'll post these weirdo photos of him, like, lounging back in a chair somewhere, and then, like, it just says, like, Sonoma, and then, like, a heart, like, a heart symbol. Like, he'll post random videos of him singing songs.
Really?
Yeah, which brings my favorite thing. So I was just reading some, like, interviews with him and, like, F. Gary Gray and stuff. He was asked what his dream project is, and everyone knows what his dream project is, probably. Yeah. He's been wanting to make a movie about Hannibal for forever.
Yeah.
And one of the things, like, when he was making this, they asked him, like, what do you do in your free time? He's like, oh, I train elephants for Hannibal that we're going to be doing. So, like, this is the thing he wants to do. But he's like, so what's your dream project? Hannibal the Conqueror, Carthaginians, 3rd century BC. I wouldn't mind doing Guys and Dolls, but don't tell anybody. We're going to work on it.
That's funny.
Oh, that's him. He wants to do a movie about Hannibal, but also he thinks Guys and Dolls would be really fun.
Yeah. All right. So where does this rating fall for you guys? The rating of this movie?
This is also not a success for F. Gary Gray.
No.
But it's more successful than The Negotiator.
That's sad.
See, I
this
thought
is a movie that a lot of bros probably buy at 7-Eleven or like, fuck yeah, Vin Diesel, man.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, people just buy Vin Diesel movies at this point.
Yeah.
2003.
He's not
ground
guys. He's in the cover and he's looking down. Awesome.
Yeah, he's got a gun in one hand and nothing in his other. What's he going to put in there?
Oh, he's got his badge.
Yeah. I didn't see it, bro. It was his badge.
I want to go...
Or he's dropping a tiny bottle.
That's like... I feel like that's... Yeah, probably. I just thought that was so funny. Oh, did no one rewatch it and see that? I just couldn't believe how hilarious that was with this tiny J&B.
So, I feel like only Timothy Olyphant knew the movie he was making. Like, he read it, and he's like, oh, cool. It's like, it's like we're making fun of movies from the 80s.
I don't think that was the point of it. I think going into it, everyone is like, this is going to be badass.
Yes, he may have thought that.
He thought like, that, but everyone else is like...
In order to get himself through it, maybe?
Yeah, exactly.
Because Timothy Olyphant was pretty funny in it.
He was. He was entertaining. Every time he showed up on screen, I was like, oh, thank Christ.
Yeah.
Like, at least I'll get a chuckle out of something.
Yeah, yeah.
When it's the scene between him, I'm sorry, I don't have the clip from it, but the scene between him and Vin Diesel where he's, what is he pulling him over for? Like, oh, and Vin Diesel compliments like two different people's rims in the movie, like out of nowhere. Like those are nice, like as a point of entering conversation, like as a way of getting in with someone. It's like, those are nice rims.
Those are nice rims, man. Yeah. Groot loves rims.
And I can't remember, it's not even handicap that he busts him for. It's like something else.
Something dumb.
I remember he tries to arrest him for.
I watched it on TV, so it was parts. There were parts that were cut. It was really. It was censored and edited. So, but yeah, El Diablo. I'm only gonna give it a 1 star.
Yeah, 11% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh my god,
Jenny, what did you give this
one? I went 1.5.
I can't believe you guys give it such high. Half a star. It's terrible.
Decline to comment.
So no stars.
No stars. Really? Decline to review. Not even keeping in the database.
Oh my god.
If you could delete it, if you were like Johnny Mnemonic, you would delete that part of your brain.
Yeah. If I was a hacker, I would take it out of their database.
Okay. All right. And then same year, another one of his movies is released.
Like the polar opposite of
The
Man Apart.
It could not be more. Yeah. Well, but The Man Apart took forever. I think it took like a few years.
Yeah.
Because then he went off and did like Fast and Furious.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, then The Italian Job.
The Italian Job from 2003.
2003. Although, I would not blame you for mistaking it being from 1997.
Yeah. It feels like 1997. Yeah. But so a movie that is a remake of the Michael Caine movie, The Italian Job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of.
And it's a spiritual remake.
Yeah.
It's
different than how they do remakes now, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there aren't many nods. I guess, like, there's the traffic thing.
Yeah.
And then...
I don't think he has the same name.
He has the same name. Someone dies, but not in the same way. Because he dies and leaves in the plan in the original. But in The Italian Job 2003, someone just dies and it gives him revenge, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Meets up with the daughter.
Give us a synopsis of The Italian Job.
Someone else give the synopsis.
Okay, so it's like Ocean's 11, a team of crooks.
Less charming.
Yeah, less charming. Way less charming and less attractive group. Led by Donald Sutherland playing John Bridger. Who is kind of the leader. He plans it. He doesn't do the mission.
He doesn't plan it, though. Mark Wahlberg plans it. Well, remember, it's his job.
It was his first go as kind of the team leader. You know? Right. And basically, Charlie Crooker, the Mark Wahlberg character, is kind of like taking over for Donald Sutherland eventually. Like, he's retiring. And in the gang of thieves, it's Mark Wahlberg, Ed Norton, Jason Statham, Seth Green, Mos Def. Yeah. And in the beginning of the movie, they pull off, I guess it would be
that is the Italian.
The Italian job. Yeah. and Ed Norton, fucker that he is, betrays them.
They should have known with that soul patch.
I know. That soul patch said everything.
He's got the mustache and the soul patch.
Yeah, he's got like a half of a Van Dyke going. With like the mustache and the soul patch. I don't know what that's called. The fencer.
The child molester.
And he betrays him and leaves him for dead. Takes off. And the whole movie is about them getting back at him. But not just killing him, because that would be too simple to just kill him. They want to get the money back. They want to get their money back.
But it's also like, they could do two birds with one stone. They could kill him and take the money back way more easily.
That's not how they roll. They're not killers.
Yeah.
They don't want to stoop to his level.
So they recruit Donald Sutherland's daughter, Charlize Theron. She's a looker. A heist ensues through the streets of L.A.
He's back to L.A.
Back to L.A.
Yeah.
Which I love. Back to L.A. Like that, back to the roots.
Even though like it totally misreads L.A. kind of.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like L.A.
No. And it does that thing with distances in L.A. that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Like, they're going, like, how do they get to the fucking L.A. River?
Yeah. They're going from they're going from the hills to Union. Like, somehow they have Union Station. Like, they have to get to Union Station. That's the only way that they can have an exit plan is Union Station, which is, like, the most complicated route through Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Going from Hollywood Hills to Union Station. Which is why they cause a traffic jam.
Yeah.
Just like the original Italian Job. You know what's funny, though? I will give it this. I will give it one thing. In that no one ever says anything about bloody doors. If that were made today, someone would have some riff on that line. Like, you know they would.
They save that for the trip.
Yeah.
So, this is a fun movie. I enjoyed it. Did you guys enjoy it?
Oof, it's painful for me.
Really?
Yeah. I enjoyed it at the time. I haven't rewatched it since 2003.
I was dumb then.
Yeah, I
rewatched
it
and hated myself for rewatching it.
I remember it was,
I could not believe it
watched
it.
It was an HBO movie.
This one's the one I didn't rewatch. Did you guys rewatch it?
I rewatched it.
I didn't rewatch it.
It's on Netflix.
Is it?
Yeah, so I rewatched it. So it was easy to watch.
I do remember, I love the dynamic between Jason Statham, Seth Green, and Mos Def. I love those characters. I do like. I enjoy.
Yeah, they are the best.
Yeah,
they're very
handsome. Rob.
Yeah. See, this is the thing that makes it like so 90s. Is there's the sexy one. There's the well-read black guy.
The nerdy
there's
guy.
The nerdy computer hacker. Yeah.
The real Napster.
Oh God. Yeah. That is like that again. Places it squarely in the 90s.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Sean Fanning even has a cameo in the movie.
Yeah. I know. So it was fun at the time. I know Ed Norton was obligated. They forced him to do it.
Yeah, it was contractual obligation.
They forced him to
Wait,
do
why?
It.
He signed a 3-picture deal with, what is it, Columbia? Which isn't even a studio anymore?
Yeah, yeah. Whoever produced this movie.
Probably off of Primal Fear.
He couldn't
Fear
do any other movie for them?
He
was
had
like,
to,
this is the
no,
only
this,
one?
Well, it came down to it because he kept saying no. He kept passing on the movies that they were telling him. He's like, all right, you have to do Italian Job.
Yeah.
And he's good in it.
He is good. He's probably the best part in it.
He is probably the best person in it.
Yeah. Because I don't know.
Besides the other guys who aren't like carrying anything.
Yeah. The comedic part of it is funny.
Yeah.
And the other part of it that's great is Ed Norton. But besides that, it's your typical action fare, which again, I mean, you made the joke in the beginning. It does feel like a 90s movie.
It just, here's the things that make it feel like a 90s movie. The Skinny Pete joke. He doesn't like when people stare, and it's a giant, grotesque fat man, and his nickname is Skinny Pete.
Yeah.
And he doesn't like when people stare, so of course, Mos Def stares. And it makes him uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't warn him until they're, like, almost there. He's like, oh, yeah, and don't stare at him. You're like, why didn't you tell him that, like
don't
a long
tell
time
him
ago?
Don't tell him at all.
Well,
you're
I mean,
really
maybe
assuming that
if
he's kind of
like
an asshole.
Thing. He kind of was, because even though he heard he still stared.
Fair enough.
And the whole time I'm thinking, stop looking at him. Just look at make a sentence, be normal. What's wrong with you?
What's that line that Charlize Theron says?
I was just about to say that.
Say it.
It's the trust everyone, just don't trust the devil inside them.
Oh, Jesus.
Which is the thing like her dad said.
Yeah.
So that's another thing that makes it like a bad 90s thing. Where here's the thing no one's ever heard of.
Yeah.
And they even comment on that in the movie.
Yeah.
When she says it to Ed Norton in the most uncomfortable, like she is almost like she's reading from a card on the table, that line. And then he's like, you know, that's weird. I've never heard anyone say that except your dad, who obviously made it up because no one has ever said such a dumb thing.
Because it's a dumb saying.
Yeah,
it's a dumb
saying.
That
was awful.
God, and then she's really bad in this movie.
Is she?
I think it's the movie's fault, but because she's really good. But the scene where she's going into the house as the cable repair person is like the most uncomfortable.
So uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like if you were a human being standing in that room, you're like, what the fuck is happening?
You're
like, why are you so weird?
It. No, don't do it.
It's actually,
I have to see. It sounds like it's like a train wreck. I want to see how bad it is.
It is. Really it bad. Is worth it for those little moments. Like her walking through the house, like she just keeps like, and then she like walks back and opens the door where his safe is, like looking for like wires. And she opens the door and he's like, oh, there's nothing in there. And so she closes it. Then she walks into the room. She looks around, like, probably just at the ceiling and says, all right, everything checks out in here.
Yeah.
I'm going to go look at the TV.
Quick. Let me just flip this switch. That's it. We're good. Yeah. You're like, what?
Let me doodle with this little
dongle. Oh, you just had to restart it.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, like, so is that why they never made the Rio job?
Oh. I don't know, because this is his most successful movie.
It did well.
A mile.
What was the budget?
Well, it was the cast.
Yeah, it definitely was the cats. But this is also like the height of heist fever.
Yeah, right? That's true.
Where people just love seeing
when
people
did
take
Ocean's
shit.
11 come out? Before this. That was 2001.
Probably. Yeah. Like,
and this is
2001 or 2.
Yeah. So yeah.
This might be the same year as like Ocean's 12 or something. I
yeah.
Don't know.
So they were really popular.
I saw Ocean's 11 again. It's really good.
It's still fantastic.
Yeah, it's also so good.
Well, because it's just like the original Ocean's 11 is just an excuse for a bunch of people who are friends to hang out.
But
yeah,
and even besides that, like just
Friday,
just like the opening of the movie, it's so well shot and like framed and like just gives you so much information.
Oh, you mean it has like a perspective and a visual voice?
Like, I feel like this was actually a late response to the heist frenzy because it was like Ocean's 11, heist, the score.
Was this,
and then 2 years later, The Italian Job.
Was this the biker?
Also with Ed Norton, the score.
Yeah. Was this the Biker Boys of films? Of the heist movies?
Probably. And all those other ones at least like had something kind of going for it. You know what I mean? Yeah. It had like an underlying feeling or tone. But anyway, it made $176 million. Which in 2003
well, I was
is
one
not
of those people. I totally saw it in theaters.
I'm not gonna lie. I saw it multiple times.
I liked it back then.
I only saw it in theaters and I didn't rewatch it. So I still stand that it was entertaining when I saw it. So
it's just so dumb. It's just so stupid.
Just knowing what I know now about movies, it's just not a good movie.
Well, there's the part at the end when Charlize is drilling. She's the safe expert.
Oh.
And she's drilling. So they have this.
God, yeah.
They steal the safe, right? So they steal the safe on Hollywood Boulevard, which is one of the things that's
right
like,
in front of the Chinese man.
Right in front of the Chinese theater, which like would have 15,000 people in front of it at any given time. So when they're driving the Mini Coopers down the sidewalk, they would have killed 1,000 people.
Yes.
Like easily. And not made it out because they would have hit another wall of people.
It
just
makes me
want to
watch it more. Make me want to watch it more.
And so they steal the safe by blowing out, doing the same thing they did in The Italian Job, which is when someone says the movie title. And she's opening a safe. She didn't know what it was a safe they weren't expecting, like a brand. Which I love in these movies, by the way, how everyone knows every brand of except like one safe.
Yeah.
Ever
oh,
made.
It's the Silver 3000.
Yeah.
You're like,
because
well,
it's a brand new one.
Israeli
guys.
Made.
Yeah.
You know like, how those oh fucking Jews love their money, right? They keep that shit safe. I mean, what else? Why is it Israeli made? Because they're really good at protecting their money, right? And so she's drilling through it. And she explains how there's like a thin pane of glass, right? So if you drill through it and the pane breaks, it's going to trigger the system. And there's, you know, like these, you know, 5-inch in diameter steel rods just shoot through and you'll never get it open.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if it's a safe once you just have those there anyway. But so she starts drilling through it and then she cracks the glass.
Yeah.
And this is in a span of 2 seconds.
Oh
like,
God.
She's like,
yeah.
If I drill through this thing, I'm going to crack the glass and it's all over, guys. We won't get the money.
Oh my God, I cracked it.
God, I got the glass.
Yeah, I'm like,
I don't know
oh
what she was
God.
Trying to do.
And then what'd she do? How did she get it open?
Then she like does the thing with the knobs.
She's like, I'm going to have to just do the knobs. I'm like, why didn't you just do the knobs in the first place? This doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and so she's listening to the click of the knobs, which I guess any asshole could do. We could still $40 million.
Well, you'd think if they thought to make it such a crazy high-tech safe, they would think to make it incapable of hearing the mechanisms
the
of the lock.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's just for the audience.
Maybe she needed to break the glass so she could hear the mechanism of the pens going.
That's how it is. Yep.
There you go.
The reason.
Okay. Sure. Why not?
So bad. She's supposed to be the one that's like the best at locks, and she does this.
But she's uncomfortable in everything she's doing in the movie, except for driving the Mini Cooper, which is the other Echo to the Italian Job.
Oh, there is a part where they all park their 3 Mini Coopers, and they're all getting out of the car, and she steps out, and Mos Def opens his door and almost hits her. Like, I think in the scene before, he probably hit her. And then she just like walks around, and it's no big deal. And I'm like, he almost hit her with his door. How did nobody else notice that? Or they take that part out.
I didn't see that.
My favorite scene is where Seth Green drops the motorcycle.
Oh yeah, can you pick it up for me,
right,
man?
Yeah. how about the part at the end when the credits are rolling and Seth Green has said earlier when he gets his money back, he's gonna buy this like, and he rattles off some code because he's a fucking nerd, and he's like, and translation is stereo system. They'll blow ladies' clothes off, right?
Quite literally.
And then here's Kelly Brook's cameo, supermodel Kelly Brook, in his apartment, and I guess. Like, he turns the stereo up so loud it blows her clothes off.
And she's not dead?
Yeah. Or deaf, for sure.
Yeah.
like what?
Like you hear like kind
clothes,
of like
but not dead
clothes. Like it's a sound effect of clothes like whapping in the wind, right? And then her screaming.
Yeah.
And then he's just left, like, and then it cuts to another guy.
Oh my god! Yeah.
What did Mos Def want?
He wanted a house in Spain that he could house all of his first editions.
Oh, okay.
And then who? And then what did Charlie Crooker want?
Charlie Crooker?
Yeah.
They never said what he wants.
He ended up with the love of his life.
Yeah. That's the other saying of the movie. And this I have the clip for. The thing that Donald Sutherland tells him, which is another nonsense thing. That he says twice in the first 10 minutes.
Hold on. Let's hear it. Hold on.
Now, Charlie, there are two kinds of thieves in this world. The ones who steal to enrich their lives and the ones who steal to define their lives. They'll be the latter. Makes you miss out on what's really important in this life.
No, you were done, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've all heard that, right?
Yeah.
That
classic phrase. Yeah, everyone's heard of that.
Two thieves.
Two thieves.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Oh man. But here's the thing. At the time it was fun. I remember going to the movie theater and enjoying this movie. So
yeah.
It served its purpose. It did well in the box office. But it didn't spawn a sequel, which I always wondered, like, what's wrong?
I'm sure because no one wanted to come back.
They were supposed to, but then I feel like even if they wanted to, it got to the point where they couldn't afford to bring all those people back together.
Yeah, Mark Wahlberg got super big. This is one of the things where when someone does, and apparently he did not have fun making this movie.
Really?
Who? Yeah.
Mark Wahlberg. Oh. Yeah. Every interview I read with F. Gary Gray, he's extremely political.
Really?
To be like, man, I can't answer that. Like, people were trying to ask him, like, you know, what was the most difficult, you know, thing to, like, get through when you were making X movie, you know? He's like, nah, I can't answer that. But for this one, he was like, man, Mark Wahlberg did not have a good time. He was pissed at the studio, like, the entire time.
Really?
Yeah.
That's funny that Mark Wahlberg was the one, when Ed Norton's the one who apparently was actually vocally stating that he was being forced
right.
to do it.
Well, this is just what F. Gary Gray said.
Hmm. Interesting.
I feel like at that point, everyone knew the Edward Norton thing. So he didn't have to say anything about that. We just already know that he was going to.
Yeah.
But this is news.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Mark Wahlberg does a thing where, like, he doesn't emote at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you give this movie, Jenny?
Hold on. Let me pull it up. Sorry. Something really bad. 1.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know what? I'll give it a 1.
See, now you're making me feel bad about my frame of reference.
What did you give it?
Well, I haven't rated it because I haven't seen it since 2003, but I remember enjoying it, so I was just going to give it a 3.
Me too, but now that I'm reliving this in my head,
Who watched it again?
I didn't watch it again.
Just you two.
Yeah. Just Jenny and I?
Yeah, just you and Jenny.
Yeah, that's why.
Okay, so now that I'm thinking back about it, did they have, like, no chemistry, Mark Wahlberg and Charlize Theron?
Oh, 0.
Okay. Well, you don't even know they're a thing until the end, and all of a sudden they're in a gondola together and in love.
Well, I just
the whole time, you're like, nothing is even a thing between them. They sit in a car together. Oh, my gosh. They're in love.
There's no sexual tension?
No.
Like, tension as in, like, maybe he's gay and, like, she doesn't know? Like, it's just so awkward. There's
really?
Like, yeah, there's just nothing.
So you're going to give it 2?
Yeah.
I'm going to give it 1.
I'll give it 2. 1. Just because I remember liking it when it came out.
You should watch it again.
I'll watch it.
We'll drink and watch it again. And
we'll make a drinking game out of it.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Every time there's an awkward moment.
Yeah, every time Charlize Theron just looks lost, like that's a drink.
Okay, so that leads us to 2005's
Oof.
Be Cool.
Guys, this fucking movie.
Be Cool, okay? I did not rewatch this thing because it was horrible when it came out.
I couldn't. So I read the book.
Yeah.
And I saw the movie when it came out. And I couldn't remember a thing about either.
But you rewatched it.
Yeah.
Okay, give us a synopsis.
I don't know if I really can.
And this is a sequel to Get Shorty.
Get Shorty.
Can you say that Chili Palmer wants to go into the music business and the movie business?
And yeah.
Oh, here's the plot.
That's the gist.
Get Shorty. It's Get Shorty. But done...
with music.
Yeah, in a terrible way.
Yeah.
Yeah, with music. But it's Get Shorty. There are so many things. I counted all the things in Get Shorty that they keep repeating in this movie. He says... what's the thing he says? Oh, if that. He always says, like, you know, I'm going to go, you know, I'm going to, like, you know, just punch him in the face, like, if that. Like, he says, if that, like at least 10 times in the movie. Oh, God, it's so bad.
The only good parts of this movie are Vince Vaughn and...
The Rock?
The Rock.
Yeah.
They're the only good parts.
The Rock was great.
The Rock is great. Can I play the part that we all want to hear from The Rock?
Please do.
Okay, so here's the second. Wait, hold on. This is the, because I just want to get this right in the context of the movie. This is the third time in this movie that they've done the bit where someone breaks in and turns on a television while they hide and wait for the person who's going to come home. This is the third time in this movie that they continue that trope from Get Shorty.
You guys have to go to Nationals. What is this, hush money? We don't need you. Why are you so mean? I'm just trying to be strong for my squad. And I'm trying to make it right. You want to make it right? Then when you go to Nationals, bring it. Oh, bring it. Don't worry. Psst. I never do. Scene.
Yeah. To try to win really Chili Palmer over.
Yeah.
But he's actually doing a scene.
Exactly. That's the whole point of it. Yeah. After he goes, you know what? You're supposed to just choose one side of the dialogue.
But he's really good in the movie, even though he's the butt of like a crazy amount of gay jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that really feel uncomfortable now.
Yeah. Yeah.
But not only is that the third time they do the TV hiding thing, it's the second time that they have Chili Palmer like befriend the tough
mm-hmm.
of the guy and like turn him. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
The thing he does to James Gandolfini in the first one.
Yeah. Yeah.
There are just the amount of times that happens in this movie is crazy. How they keep repeating shit over and over.
Well,
with like zero life.
It works the first time.
You know what I was thinking about with this movie? You know how in improv, like the whole thing is you're not supposed to. I never took improv, but from what I've heard is you're not supposed to like leave a scene kind of thing. Like
you're not supposed to stop the action.
You're supposed to keep going and like you're not supposed to like come in and then leave. And
play
then,
the game.
Yeah, you're supposed to stay in. I feel like this movie is a whole bunch of big names that came in and go out real quick. Mm-hmm. And that's all it is.
Yeah, that is.
And perfect. You're like, what was the reasoning for this person being this movie?
Yeah, yeah.
So the movie stars Uma Thurman and John Travolta. It took me until, obviously they have a dance scene. It took me until that dance scene to remember, holy shit.
Yes, me
these
too.
These two were in Pulp Fiction.
That's exactly what it's like. I was like, wait. I had to look it up again. I was like, wait, hold on. They're in Pulp Fiction together. And they're doing this exact same scene.
Yeah, but I had completely forgotten that they were in Pulp Fiction together, where they had amazing chemistry and gave awesome performances.
Yep.
Yes.
And in this one, they're just totally shitting the bed.
How does that happen?
I have no idea.
It's like, what, 10 years later?
More than like 15. 2005, 2005, like what was Pulp Fiction, 94?
Yeah, yeah. 93,
so like 11.
Yeah. So about 11, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
10 or 11 years. But
yeah, it's amazing what happens in 10 or 11 years.
Holy shit, like it was awful. They don't even explain where Renee Russo went. They don't even give a line.
You're like, she's gone.
Yeah.
Oh my God, yeah.
This was, I didn't feel the need to revisit. I'm not interested.
This is more fun to revisit, I think, than The Italian Job.
I agree. Oh, no. I can agree with that.
If we're going to drink and watch something, this has so many fascinating
Gee-weezy.
Missteps.
Gee Weezy.
Is that something Vince Vaughn says?
Yeah. When they get out of the car and he starts circling with The Rock, The Rock's like chasing him and he's like, come on, man. Gee Weezy.
Vince Vaughn is
that cracks me up every single time.
Vince, I guess I forgot like how maybe big this movie was at the time because I felt like Vince, like at this time, Vince Vaughn should have been way bigger than this, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He was in The Lost World, like he's way bigger than this thing.
The Lost World.
Well, Lost World was huge.
He's defending it.
I know.
I don't like the Lost World, but Lost World was huge, and it made him like a household name.
Yeah.
I don't know why that's so funny.
The Lost World made him a household name?
I don't think it was Lost World.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone saw it.
I think Psycho made him a household name. They're fuck.
Sure. So part of the movie is they discover Christina Milian.
Yeah.
Who's like part of this girl group or something. And so they're going to give
her a stripper group.
A stripper group. Yeah, I guess. I wish I had paid more attention at what club they were going into.
Yeah.
In Hollywood. But it was just, and so they discover her and like she's with, I don't know, the plot is so stupid. It's so convoluted unnecessarily and not explained well.
All of a sudden he's like, oh, she's got a great voice. I'm not just watching her for her body. So I want to, produce her.
Yeah.
It's like a weird.
And he does that like sense. Confidential, like forthrightness thing where like he's just going to pitch her to everyone, right? Yeah. Which leads them to, I wish I had this. So a bunch of the audio clips on YouTube are messing up and I didn't have it on DVD, so I can't get the conversation. But so apparently Uma Thurman used to do the laundry for Aerosmith. That's part of the plot of the movie. Was like a groupie, but did their laundry.
Mm-hmm.
And so Chili Palmer's like, oh, well, we'll get her to sing with Aerosmith at their concert on Saturday night. Like,
obviously.
Yeah.
And so they get there, and Steven Tyler, who gives a fairly decent performance for being like Steven Tyler. Well, like Joe Perry comes in later, and he's not nearly as good as Steven Tyler. And like they pitch her and like play her a tape, and Chili wins him over by telling him what Sweet Emotion was about.
Yeah. He's like, oh, you're right. That is what it's about.
He's like, no, I don't think it's about that. I think it's about your daughter.
That's funny.
And then all of a sudden he's like, you're right.
I never thought about it that way.
Yeah. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
That didn't make any sense, yeah.
And then
the other weird part is that they find him at a Lakers game, but like...
Oh, that's the only legitimate laugh that I had in the movie.
Which part?
Was his introduction to Steven Tyler at the Laker game, where so he's like kind of known as like a producer or whatever.
Yeah.
And so Steven Tyler goes, oh, you're that Shylock. I saw you, and I wrote this whole thing down. You're that Shylock. I saw you on Larry King. Who are you on with? Ariel Sharon. Hell of a show. That was so good.
Yeah.
And Harvey Keitel is in this, Danny DeVito, James Woods.
For like half a second. Yeah. Danny DeVito's barely in it. He's on the poster, but he's not in the movie.
Fred Durst.
Again, doing a callback to the thing in the other movie.
Yeah.
The RZA. Anna Nicole Smith.
Andre 3000.
Yeah.
Anna Nicole Smith. They're all into the end scene. So I started listing them because there's a scene at the end where Christina Milian is in concert. Like she's made it. Like they've given her a record deal or whatever.
Yeah.
And so she's at this concert. But it's at this concert where like everyone's sitting down. It's the weirdest thing. It's like a recital, kind of.
Yeah.
And then it cuts like smash cut Video Music Awards. And sitting around Chili Palmer and Uma Thurman are Fred Durst, Gene Simmons, RZA, I think one of the girls from the Pussycat Dolls, although I couldn't quite peg her. But I just thought that was really funny that they had them just sitting around them planted. Fred Durst especially.
So this is not the worst of his films, but I didn't care for this movie. But see, here's the thing is that a lot of the things that we're describing are problems with the script, not problems with the direction, you know?
No, I'm going to say this is problems with direction.
Really?
Because nothing, it is the exact same movie. I mean, not the exact same, but all the beats are the same.
Mm-hmm.
All the plot devices are the
that's
same.
That's script.
The climax is all the same.
Script.
Right. So why is Get Shorty 1,000,000,000 times better than this?
Well, because this one's poorly written.
It's a lot of it has to do with Barry Sonnenfeld.
I don't know.
He has a look. He has an idea. He has a point of view. You know when something is a Barry Sonnenfeld movie. It's got a certain visual style. He does really good visuals. That is not a good sentence. But
well, isn't he a director, cinematographer?
He was, but he's mostly a director.
Yeah.
But his movies are beautiful, no matter how bad they are. Which they get bad. They're always great to look at. Men in Black 2 might be terrible, but it's still a really pretty movie.
I like Men in Black 2. I don't like Men in Black 3.
That was awful.
Yeah.
But this just has like nothing. It's just nothing.
The fact that it is a sequel to something just makes it that much more worse because I'm just constantly thinking about the better original.
Like, right.
I could be watching Get Shorty.
On that note, I'm going to play the only other clip I have from the movie, which is how the movie opens. These are the first lines that are said in the movie.
It's the only time I gave in my life. But sometimes you gotta do it the studio way.
What are you talking about? Get Lost?
Yeah.
Well, I thought the first one was pretty good.
Get Leo?
Terrific picture. Terrific. And you know what else? It was good.
You know, I'm thinking, Tommy, I think of getting on the movie business. I go back to my old job.
What, being a Shylock?
Yeah.
Why?
At least they're honest about being dishonest.
Come on. Why would you want to leave all this? Hey! Hello! Hey! See? I'm telling you, this town, look, Joe, you and me, we come out to Hollywood, sniff the air, And now look at us, man. We made it. And you know why? Because we knew how to hustle a deal.
Yeah, like I got hustled into doing the sequel.
That sucks.
Do you know that unless you're willing to use the R rating, you can only say the F word once?
You kidding me?
No. You know what I say? Fuck that. I'm done.
The first lines of the movie, and it sums up everything in the movie.
Yeah. Was this PG-13?
Yep. Yeah.
And then the first one was R.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
I think part of it is also, it just looks bad. I think this is digital. I think this might have been early days of digital.
You think so?
Yeah.
I'll look it up later.
I should have looked that up.
But yeah, this movie, yeah, I don't care to rewatch it ever.
God, it's so bad.
Yeah. So
I remember the book being pretty bad too.
Well, you want to move forward and forget this mess? Well, let's give it a rating. What's your rating, Jenny?
One.
You were too generous.
Half.
Brandon?
Half.
Half, yeah. Which brings us to the last.
It was very successful.
Was it?
Yeah. 95 million cost 53.
No. Really?
Yeah.
All right, so that brings us to the last movie on this director's filmography, which is also the worst. It is a movie from 2009.
I don't know if I agree with you.
I don't agree with that either. It's definitely not the worst. It's definitely not worse than A Man Apart.
Okay, well, I guess for me, Be Cool is worse than this.
I think Be Cool, Italian Job, and A Man Apart are all three worse than this.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Really?
Yeah. Yes.
I just watched it the other day, and I think that.
Yeah, me too.
That's interesting. Well, we're talking about 2009's Law Abiding Citizen with Gerard Butler, Jamie Foxx, Leslie Bibb, Bruce McGill, a ton of great character actors. Give us a synopsis since you've seen it most recently.
Well, I called it Law Abiding Citizen, or if Batman was some poor schmuck who knew some electronics.
Okay.
Because it's about a guy whose wife and family are killed in a incredibly gruesome way.
Yeah.
And then plots a 10-year plan for revenge.
Yeah.
And we only find out later, in the worst turn, that he was some, like, government cleaner, but his specialty... This is what firmly plants in, like, the 90s action thing. So his specialty was killing people, like, without actually killing them, you know? Like, setting up some, like,
making
complicated...
Like an accident?
Like,
like, some complicated Rube Goldberg... But, like, not even, like, an accident. They always involve some weird Rube Goldberg device. Like,
so he was, like, the government's Jigsaw.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because...
You want to play a game.
The, like, secret... The, like, deep throat guy that Jamie Foxx goes to talk to talks about, like, they gave him... Like, they snuck a tie into some guy's wardrobe that, like, they signaled through a cell phone or something and then just strangled him. So it's always a very complicated thing.
Yeah.
But
continue.
So the murderers who killed his family, Jamie Foxx is the DA or assistant DA, and they cut one of them a deal to lock the other one up. So one of them gets life for... the chair. I think he gets the death penalty, but the other guy gets only like 3 years.
Yeah.
And he was the guy who like really did it.
Yeah.
And God, what's the thing that he says to him at the very beginning? Shit. I think I wrote it down. They just bust into his house. Like it's a Sunday night.
Jamie Foxx plays the DA.
He's the DA, but Gerard Butler is the guy, the put upon guy. I can't remember his name. Daryl something, maybe. I don't know.
Clyde.
It's a horse's name.
Or a monkey's. I'm sorry. My orangutan.
But it's just a normal Sunday night at the Gerard Butler house, working on their American accents. Mm-hmm. And they just, like, blow through the door and, like, start attacking his wife, like, threatens to rape him. And the guy is pinning down Gerard Butler, he says, "You can't fight fate." And then they, like, kill his family. But why would any, like, he's not, he's just, like, some junkie, like, asshole.
He also says, "Kids love me."
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
Well, that's because he has his way with them.
I mean, it's still a weird line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just, the line they're so focused on the you can't fight fate thing. Because it gets repeated later. Like, that's what he becomes his thing.
Oh, yeah.
His Riddler motto.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And he's basically like the Riddler. Basically.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. He's like Batman and the Riddler in one. Because he's fighting for vengeance, but killing a bunch of people in the process and setting up these wacky scenarios.
But he's in jail the whole time that all these people are dying.
That's his expertise.
It's crazy.
He's there because he wants to be there.
Yeah. Like all the movie where the villains get caught worse.
Oh, I do have a question, though. You know his cellmate, when he kills his cellmate?
Uh-huh.
Was that guy someone...
No, he was just a cellmate.
He just wanted to be in solitary. Yeah. And that was the only way to get there.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure
didn't
if
have
he
to
was...
kill someone to get solitary.
He does kill him in kind of a cool... That I do kind of like that scene.
Yeah, it's a good scene.
When he does the deal to get the steak dinner, the T-bone specifically, and then kills him with the T-bone.
Yeah.
I do kind of like that.
Yeah. So
it's, I mean, every single way he kills people, it's interesting.
Yeah.
Like that's an interesting part of the movie.
Yeah.
So how it's he does literally it. An action movie version of Saw.
Basically.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Drop play game.
But I don't know what the message of the movie is.
No. Yeah. That's yeah.
It's like booby traps work.
You can't fight fate.
Yeah.
You said already.
Right, but like, I don't know if we're supposed to... So, the whole idea is that the system doesn't work, right? So, the system excuses certain ethics for a greater goal, right? Like, that's his initial thing.
Yeah.
But then he takes pride in having pushed them to the extreme, which seems to negate his own message. Like, there's a part where Jamie Foxx comes in to, like, basically, like, he outsmarts him a little bit and just, like, comes in to, like, kill him or whatever. And he's, like, congratulating him. Like, now you're going to the lengths you should have gone to.
To prosecute the people that killed his family.
Right, but it wouldn't have resulted. I don't understand. Like, the moral of it is so conflicting.
And I don't know what Gerard Butler's character wanted, really.
Like, yeah.
Like, what do you expect? Like, I don't understand. Yeah.
I guess he just wanted to die. He's going to take the whole system. He's going to take the whole system down. Can I play one clip of him in the courtroom?
No, I don't think I will excuse you. You see, this is what I'm talking about. You were about to let me go. Are you kidding me? This is why we're here in the first place.
Fourth place.
He, like, first went place. Into, like, first Christopher place. Lambert territory for a second.
Yes. Yeah, he does. Yeah, exactly. And I think that's Christopher Lambert's problem. Is like, and a lot of people, when they are... like Europeans, especially from the UK, when they're trying to do an American accent, they always go Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Because that's where it first kind of, you know, those accents turned into something more American.
Yeah.
So that's where they always first go. And so he's got like a hint of that a little bit. But it's just like, and he does this thing with his mouth through the whole movie where he's like kind of like, you can see him like move his mouth around to try and do an American accent. You know what I mean? Like to be very...
Yeah,
stayed, and
that's why when they announce him as a possible actor to play in the new in the remake of Escape from New York, I was like, no.
I think they're way over that, though.
Yeah, they need an American guy. That's it. I've said it.
You're just saying that because Kurt Russell said it.
Did he?
He said that during the Q&A. Remember that? Someone asked him about the remake from Escape from New York, and he's like, "Well, you know, I don't know, but I think they should give it to an American guy."
Did he say who they should get?
No, he was very diplomatic. He just said, I think it should be an American guy.
It should be.
Because he's one of those old school guys who was like, all our guys are pussies now. Like, because we truck in all of our action stars from Australia and Britain.
Yeah. So, do you guys want to talk about rating? Anything else you want to talk about this movie? This was.
I haven't even seen it, so.
It's very forgettable.
Not maybe. Applicable.
Yeah, it's not worth it. But huge success.
Was it?
Yeah. Cost 53. How much do you think it made? Guess.
89.
Jenny?
How much did it cost again?
53. How much do you think it made? Calling it a big success.
94.
Adam? They're all low, by the way.
I'll really?
They're all pretty low.
Wow.
53?
Yeah, cost 53.
200.
70. Oh, wait, they're low?
They were low.
Oh, yeah. Okay. 150.
That's a little too high. 126.
Wow. That's really good.
Yeah.
Shit, man. And again, this movie's not horribly directed. It's just a script. Again, I see script. And you argue that it was him in Be Cool, but I still argue script.
I'm not saying the script was good.
Yeah.
By any means. The script is awful, but he brought nothing to it.
Yeah. He's not a bad director, though.
No, I don't think he's a bad director at all.
No.
I'm actually excited for Straight Outta Compton.
I am too. I'm too.
I was worried about it because I'm always worried about biographic movies because they're always very, like, whitewashed.
Yeah.
I guess, for lack of a better word. Just like too, they're too clean, too, I, you know.
Well, here's the
they things. Idolize the character too much.
Yeah.
They rarely show the real dirty shit, you know?
Yeah. Poop. They never show poop.
Yeah, people never poop.
Yeah, in movies. I'm excited, A, they're not writing it. Ice Cube isn't writing it, so they actually hired a writer to work on it. So I'm excited because of that, and, you know, I like that they're involved still. And he's not a bad director, like I said. If the script is decent, halfway decent, I think he'll do a good job.
Well, I think he's also back to working with friends of his.
And in L.A.
And in L.A.
Because
there was already...
Law Abiding Citizen isn't in L.A. It's
no,
in
No, that's true. It's
York,
in
right?
Pittsburgh, I
Pittsburgh?
Think. Pittsburgh? Pittsburgh, yeah. They had good tax incentives.
Yeah.
L.A. got expensive at the turn
did.
Of the century.
It did, yeah.
But Straight Outta Compton already had a drive-by on set.
Really?
Yeah.
That's good. It's good in,
did you see the video that they just posted of all the stuff that's on Laurel Canyon?
Oh, because they're redoing the riots.
Yeah.
Yeah, they set up.
They made it look like a whole building was on fire.
Yeah.
Really?
They were staging the riots, yeah.
The video is pretty cool of all this. It's just someone that like recorded like if you're driving by at all.
Hmm. Really?
So that's cool.
And they're firmly in the mindset of like early 90s, late 80s, early 90s hip hop.
Wait, did we give a rating?
No, let's give a rating to this. I give
sorry,
it
go back
half a star.
Really?
Yeah.
I went with 2.
Whoa. All right. You, Brian? He didn't see
I
it.
I didn't see it.
Oh, I'm going to say 2.
2?
2 right. Sounds good.
2 and 2 and my half.
Anyways.
I'm
really excited for Straight Outta
Compton. Yeah, I was just going to say, I like, they seem to be fairly planted in late 80s, early 90s hip hop because did you read the casting call that they had for like that party?
No.
For the women?
No.
Okay. This is the...
Was it the one, the really racist one? The racist casting call?
Yeah. Yes. For the A, B, C, and D girls.
Yeah, let's
go.
Oh,
yeah, I read
the
that.
The A girls being the hottest of the hot models, must have real hair, no extensions, very classy looking, great bodies. You can be black, white, Asian, Hispanic, Mideastern, or mixed race too. 18 to 30.
Yeah.
B girls. These are fine girls. Long natural hair, really nice bodies, small waist, nice hips. You should be light skinned. Oh. Beyonce is the prototype.
Okay.
Please email a current color photo. C girls. These are African American girls. Medium to light skinned with a weave. Please email a current color photo. D girls. These are African American girls. Poor. Not in good shape. Medium to dark skin tone. Character types.
I want to know what Zenus is.
Character types.
This is horrible. Like someone, some assistant typed that up for it to go out. And
and
like they're like, okay, this doesn't seem that racist.
And all of them are like union status, height, weight, age, city in which you live in, email, subject line should be D girls. So like subject line is always A girls, B girls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But yeah, I'm excited about it. Back to that era.
Yeah.
So, you know. All in all, he's not a bad director, but he doesn't have a signature, you know?
Yeah. We never talked about the music, really, but like watching Friday, I forgot how good the soundtrack is.
Yeah, totally.
So good.
All of his movies have great soundtracks.
That's the other. I have to say one more thing about Be Cool. When they're recording the track, like the hot track that's going to make her career, it's just a piece of the score with her singing over it.
Really?
Like the same like faux shitty jazz that they're doing. The same like it's all trying to be like. It's like a low-rent Booker T and the MGs throughout the whole movie. Mm. And like that's her song. And everyone's jamming out like in the studio. But it's just like the score to the movie that you've been hearing for the past 45 minutes.
All right. Any final thoughts on F. Gary Gray? All I have
it is what it is.
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. It's like vanilla ice cream. Jenny, any parting thoughts?
Not really.
Anything that really stood out for you? Any movie? Friday, I guess.
I was happy about The Negotiator, actually.
Yeah.
I really liked that one.
It was a good gem to discover.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Have you found that now? Have you found that with other directors? Like, oh, this is unexpected. I really like this.
Yeah, usually.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think Jenny was happy that all of these movies are 2 hours.
Oh, yeah. My God. No. They should have been an hour and a half.
Most of them
are. I did not have time for this.
The Negotiator was like over 2 hours.
The Negotiator was like 220. That's the longest
one. That one was okay.
Yeah.
But like some of them, they were bad and long.
Yeah.
Didn't make any sense.
Man Apart, though, that's like 90 minutes in and out.
Really? No, it was like 2 hours. It was 2 hours.
Is it 2 hours?
Mm-hmm. Feels like the longest movie.
I must have just stopped paying attention at a certain point.
I watched it at work.
At some point, I was like, I'm just going to be doing something on the side over here while this is playing in the background because I'm bored.
We should replace all the dialogue, all his dialogue in Man Apart to just say, I'm Groot. I am Groot.
I'm Groot.
And he brutally murders.
Yeah.
El Diablo. I am Groot.
All right.
No, that bitch gotta be stupid.
She married Gop.
Stupid bitch wife.
We are Groots.
We're Groots. All right. So that is our F. Gary Gray episode. Next, I don't know who we're gonna be doing next. We'll feel it out. If you have any suggestions, email us or tweet us. And we've done some good ones. We've done Alfonso Cuarón. We've done. I'm trying to blank here, guys.
Michael Mann.
Oh, Michael Mann.
Catherine Bigelow.
And Danny Boyle.
So. I like that we did F. Gary Gray, though, because he's a guy who works a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
But no one ever talks about him.
Yeah, yeah. I like that we're trying to be, like, we're trying to cover everything, you know? Like really indie directors and, like, just... This guy hasn't done an indie movie since he started.
Yeah.
Even Friday, I wouldn't consider an indie movie. It was with a lower budget, but it was still a studio movie.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'd like to see, actually, F. Gary Gray do an indie movie. I'd be interested in that.
Yeah. He's too successful.
Yeah.
Why would he do that?
Well, the thing is, he does a lot of music videos, too. Did you know he won an award? Yeah. Jenny, he did a TLC's Waterfalls.
Oh, okay.
See? So,
Murder was the case. Dre, Snoop.
Yeah. He does a lot of music videos while he's not directing, so, you know. Anyway, so follow us on Twitter at The Film Podcast. You could follow me on Twitter at Ricardo, ULTRERAS.
I'm at Janae, JEHNEIGH.
I'm at Ann Adam Scott, AN_AdamScott.
At BL Bennett.
So follow us, you know, tell a friend if you like the stuff, if we're nerdy enough for you, whatever. And suggest any directors you'd like to see in the future. Or maybe should we do a writer next? Like, cover a writer? Is that too weird? We don't know. We'll figure it out. Or an actor. Until next time, hey, have a good week. You know it ain't no stopping all the dogs I'm dropping. It's Friday night, so everything is popping. I got skin to spin on the hand, so let the games begin. Yakety yak, don't talk back or a song. Calling up Earl on the car phone. Mac 10 just got out of court, bowling through the hood in the super sport, dropping too short. 18's got the rear view mirrors vibrating, and deep dish Dayton's. You know how we do it, ain't nothing to it but the floss. Overcrowding Harrison Ross, cause if you fuck with us, we leave scars out of G-Ride cars. Living like stars, might hit the highway on the Vegas run, fool, cause it's Friday. Oh yeah, throw your neighborhood in the air, if you don't care. Oh yeah, throw your neighborhood in the air, if you don't care. Standing outside on a Friday, living on the edge, cause we all got them hard heads. It seems like we all are waiting for the drive-by, playing tag with Satan, but we chilling. Yeah, we ready and willing. You hear about the latest West Side killing? 40 sipping, set tripping, 4 dipping, pistol gripping, never slipping. BG's trying to hang out, but OG saying take your little ass in the house. My big homie just got out, used to be down, now he's just cracked out. He was about as hard as Darth Vader. And
a sweatshirt, khakis, and Chuck Taylors. Just seen them in the driveway, getting beat like a smoker, fool, cause it's Friday.
Oh yeah, throw your neighborhood in the air, if you don't care. Oh yeah, throw your neighborhood in the air, if you don't care. Chase the cat or settle for a hood rat.